Brass Tacks, good morning.
434-1-790. And again, I apologize for the unavailability at the moment for those of you trying to reach us by WhatsApp or email, having a issue with our tablet. The equipment seems to have gone on strike. So, Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson. How are you?
I am not bad. And you, sir?
Not too bad. Mr. Johnson,
yes.
Where you want me start from?
From
the top and get the bottom or from the
wherever you're comfortable, sir. I'm seated, so
No. The reason I ask you that airplane is take off from the bottom and get the top. A bird is take off from the bottom and get the top.
Mm-hmm.
But we as human beings, majority of us start from the bottom and get the top. Now, you had an idea with Mr. Mason. How West Indies cricket, or where West Indies cricket going around?
Yeah.
You know that I was going to speak on saying that, but I'm going to speak about that. Where Barbados now going around? Now you got, let me, I got too fast, got to be limited. We complaining about the 11 pass, as I tell you, going too fast. You got the primary schools cramped to capacity with the curriculum, where the teachers in the primary school complaining because they're not getting the same benefits as the one in secondary school. I'm moving on a little fast. They're moving fast. You got managers and supervisors who do not know how to manage workers. But on top of that, someone talk about people getting off here because they do a lot of foolishness and they get promotion, they get this, they get the next. No, this is my problem this morning. There's something called PPP. You ever hear about 3 P's yet, or you never heard about it?
Public-private partnership, or they're going another 3 P's.
But where you going that way?
But that's
where
the only 3 P's that's here.
But
unless you mean pigeon peas.
But no, but if you talk about pigeon peas, it's still Mr. P.
I know, which is why I was looking for the third P with pigtail.
I don't know. I want to go that road. This is where they want to go.
Which one?
Public-private partnership.
Partnership, oh, that one. Uh-huh, okay. So
I don't want a private-public partnership. Okay. I want a
public-private partnership, yes.
Good. Mm-hmm. Because in partnership, if me and you were in partnership and there's a dollar, I obviously think you would get 50 cents and they would get 50 cents.
If that's the partnership. If it's an equal partnership, yes.
Oh, good. But that is the word that I'm glad you use.
What, equal? Yeah.
Yes, because it's not equal.
Okay.
Now, we had 150 people going home yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody talked. But you know the same thing happened in the public sector where people tools were picked up, taken to various stations of work and sent home. And then people had loans, they had the family, they had everything. So if it is done in the, and I hear two ministers come on and say, oh, they should got consultation. I remember a person said all the people, I don't know if you remember, all the people that Fandel sent home then taken back. And people were discarded like animals. I remember two people. John here said that she cried. And I listened to David Ellis on a program there. We lady said she had two children. She went home and cried. So it's okay to say home people that people will, some will cry and some can care less. But if you started that kind of way, what you expect the public to do? Because it's a partnership.
Okay,
and so long as you're getting these kind of unfair things, it will continue. And then you will talk about what people don't care, business don't want work. But when you say it happened in government that way, with the massive amount of thousands, and then you say it happened in private sector, tell me how much people is going to give 100%.
The people who understand that their jobs depend on them doing a good job, and if they do a good job, they will continue to improve themselves regardless of whether people pay them or not. Sir, I keep telling people, I'm the wrong person to raise these issues with for one reason and one reason only. And that's because I am an odd kind of some things don't motivate me, let me put them that way. This company that I worked with since 1994, on Olia's Night 2010, Olia's Day 2010, after I'd worked throughout 2010, 7 days a week, sometimes two shifts per day, to save the company money, was told you have one or two options. You can make you redundant and you go home, or we remove you as the program manager. We take away all the perks and we cut your salary by 30%, but you stay with us. I still here. And nobody could tell you, sir, nobody could tell you that I work any less now than I did then, or that I work with any less professionalism than I did then. Sir, there are some people who understand that their job is not who they are, it's what they do. And yes, until we, sir, until we get that into our psyche, we continue to have people who say, oh, they're paying the teachers in secondary school more than me, so I feel like giving my best. That's not the attitude. That's not the way. I can't support it. I'm sorry.
But Dennis.
Yes, sir.
You say you accept it. Were any of the workers that were sent home were given that choice?
Yes, some of them were, and some of them didn't take it. There's some who cried. There's some who took their severance and went home and have other jobs now that I suppose pay them more than this one did, plus their severance payment to fall back.
No, I mean there. I talking about the ones
that's
who
right.
were...
I don't know, sir. I don't work there, so I can't tell you.
Right. So, and I'm sure that there were not.
Okay.
From my investigations, there were not. So you had a choice, but these workers, they had none. That is what I'm dealing with.
Okay, sir. I take your point. Point made, sir, and take it. Have a good one. Brass Stacks, good morning. Hello. 434-1790 Brass Stacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Danny.
Hey.
Yeah, there are a few issues that I'd like to discuss with you.
Mm-hmm.
After the announcement of the proposed abolition of the 11 plus, what you think is the reaction of teachers in the primary school who are teaching children in class 3 and not writing the exam, those students and their parents?
I have no idea, sir. I don't know how they feel. Why should they feel differently?
Well, if previously they were geared towards the exam.
And that's the problem, sir, right there. Don't go further. Don't go further. Stop right there. That's my problem, sir. I have said on this program, I keep telling you I'm the wrong moderator to pick on with this. I have said on this program on more than one occasion, I'm not deviating from it. Our problem is that we started teaching our children how to pass exams and not teaching our children. So if you have teachers and parents who were gearing their children to pass an exam and now feel that they're out to sea without a life vest, their problem, their fault, you should not have. Education is about teaching people, teaching them that education doesn't stop at fifth form or sixth form. You still learn when you're 90, once you're alive and your brain working. We need to teach our people to discover the difference between what they know and what they don't know and how to get the information that they need to know to get. I don't like to hear training people for the world of work. I don't like to hear training them for exam. It don't mean nothing to me because I don't know what the world of work will be 10 years from now. So how could I train somebody today who's 10 years old today to be in the world of work 10 years from now when I don't know what it's going to be like? We've been doing this the wrong way, and that's why we're scrambling now. Because we used to train our children to pass the exam. Put an X there, put a naught there, say what I tell you to say, and last year's paper say this, so it ain't coming this year, but next year it can come. So learn these answers here, and you can pass and go to Harrison College. That's not how you teach people. That's why we're scrambling. So I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for them, but it's wrong. It's the wrong way to teach. But we've been doing it for so long that we know what to do.
But the point I'm making, since they have said that they are going to abolish the exam,
mm-hmm.
I'm saying that if you were a teacher in the primary school, you are preparing a child for the exam,
mm-hmm.
and is not writing the exam this year,
mm-hmm.
well, you are going to have a laid-back attitude. The child also is going to have that laid-back attitude.
Nah.
And if the parent was giving the child extra lessons, the parent
doesn't really
need now to give the child any lesson.
Why not? So
because
why not?
Was,
I just ask you, why not?
The exam.
Sir, and that's why I tell you they're wrong. So you're trying to tell me, right, that I planning to teach this child how to pass the exam. And because they ain't have an exam no more, I can stop teaching the child like all the way back. I did you, well, you ain't got no exam, so I ain't gonna learn to teach you. And I can't give lessons no more, so I can't teach you nothing. So that, you have children?
Yeah, I have children.
It would change your attitude to your child?
Well, they have a different attitude.
Ah, uh-huh. You see, yeah. And there you go. So why we assume that the teacher don't have a different... So let me tell you something, yeah? If there's a teacher in a primary school who has a 9-year-old child or 8-year-old child or 7-year-old child, you think they're going to suddenly say to themselves, well, they ain't no 11 plus no more, so I ain't going to bother about my child no more. Whether they learn or not, ain't really no problem to me. My child can get through because it's my child. You think that can be their attitude? Or they can continue to teach their child whatever they need to teach their child? Everything from social graces to their prayers to times table to whatever it is that's not on the curriculum. How to use a computer, how to speak Spanish, how to speak Mandarin, how to do whatever. They can keep doing it because it's their child and they care about them. We can't surrender education to an exam.
An exam, that's what we have been doing for a long time.
And it's been wrong for a long time. I don't know why we keep... Look. Maybe, and again, as I said, maybe I'm the wrong person because I was not totally raised in this environment. So I was not raised to believe that if I went to Harrison College, Queen's College, or Combermere, I was good. And if I went anywhere else, I was bad. I sit and listen to the arguments about 11 plus and elitism, right? And even the people who say what they think is a better system end up saying the same thing. Oh, I know somebody who only went to X or Y school, and look at them today, they're a doctor or lawyer. I have never heard them say, look at this, Nicholas Branca is an ace musician. I have not heard them say that Alan Shepard made money out of music or where he went to school. I have not heard them say that this person went to that school and they're now chief of staff at the Defense Force. Those people are success too. Why we keep saying doctor and lawyer as the criteria for excellence? Because it's still in the back of our minds. Why we don't talk about somebody who started their own business and is a thriving business person today? We keep saying, oh, the principal at Harrison College, he only went to school there, and this person is a lawyer, but they didn't start off so. So that's not about education, sir. That's about saying my thing better than your thing. And that's not.
I would like to look at the economy now, Dennis.
Uh-huh.
The foreign reserves are $1 something billion. Mm-hmm. Are these U.S. or Bajan dollars?
Barbados dollars.
Right. Now, can you tell me what percentage of this reserve is made up of loans?
I cannot because I have not seen that data. But I would hazard a guess that it is perhaps in the majority. That would be my guess, based on past, looking at the data over a period of time. As I said, I haven't seen the last set, but over a period of time, it usually is more loans and foreign investment rather than generated from within.
Mm-hmm. Now, the last time Dr. Masco was on the program, mm-hmm. he said that this administration is not printing any money, but they have an overdraft arrangement with the central bank.
Right.
Now, when you use an overdraft, whose money are you using?
Technically, nobody's. Technically, nobody. It's an advance. No, you ain't using
you're not using the bank's money.
No, technically not. I say technically for a reason. An overdraft facility is an arrangement that allows you more credit than you have money. So which is why I'm saying you're not using anybody's money technically. If you take my money and give it to you, that's a loan. If I take somebody else's money and tell you, well, if you need it, I will let you have it. That's a loan. Overdraft says you have $5,000, by allowing you to have $6,000, because I feel you could give me back the $1,000 by tomorrow. So technically, it's a facility that allows you to spend more than you have. No. You could try to figure how you put that into the global context or the central bank context, but basically that's what it says to you. It ain't really nowhere until you can't pay it back, in which case you've spent more than you have and you have to find it from somewhere, which is when you're going to ask for a loan or a grant or somebody to give you a hand now.
Now, since the restructuring of the debt, are there financial institutions out there breaking down the door to lend Barbados money?
You could answer that question better than I can. Haven't they done so? The CDB, the IADB, several of them. That's how come you talk about the $1 billion, Barbados dollars, that we have that you suggest came from loans. They came from people. Caribbean Development Bank has given us money to work on several projects. The IADB has as well. Several of them have, sir.
But what about the people who had to take the haircut or whatever it is that they say?
What happened to them?
Are they still interested in loaning Barbados money?
So they don't interest. They didn't weren't interested in loaning Barbados money in the first place. The people who had a haircut gave Barbados money, invested in bonds, and expected to get a return. What they've decided to do is to accept the returns over a longer period and in lesser amounts because they still have confidence that Barbados can pay it back. That's what they were doing.
And talking about the external.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, sir. So the external financial institutions are holding Barbados bonds. That's what they're holding. Bonds, that's what they're holding. Barbados financial instruments. That's what the overseas creditors are holding.
Oh.
Have a good one, sir.
Okay, there, Jay.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Brass Tacks, good morning.
A wonderful good morning to you, sir.
And to you, ma'am.
How are you?
I am all right.
No, and you? Not too bad. The gentleman just talked, people are trying, want to come into Barbados, but we can, this government is making sure anyone that comes in are a person that they can trust. There are people who are lining up to lend Barbados money because the confidence in this government is so high that right now, personally me, I know 4 persons who wants to come in and buy a house in Barbados. Before, they did not want to, but they want to. And there are people of different races that I know from the UK. Right now, I've got one at my house, and she's going around looking to see to get a property. She ain't going to live here for the next 40 years, but she's going to buy a property here to because she feels good about it. The dollar is quite okay because right now the dollar is 2, the pound is 1, the dollar is 160 now, something like that. So it's not too bad at all. The dollar is not, the pound is, you know, it's not bad. It's really not bad because I know someone who comes 4 times a year for holiday because they work for themselves. They come 4 times a year and they spend 7 days and gone back out. By the way, I didn't call for that. What I call about is this chin, what do you call it?
The restaurant. Okay.
Mr. Johnson, I hope to God that the government makes sure those people that close down their business, the workers, get what is due to them and, you know, and make sure that they did pay the NIS because this happened before. You know that it many firm closed down and gone, and the workers no NIS and they don't get what is due to them. Before this company can say they're not doing it no more, check with the NIS for the workers and make sure that they get their money. If not, hold on to every building, every hotel that closed down or whatever it closed down, and make sure the workers this time do not get unfair treatment. There's no way you can. I could come to work, Mr. I come to you, work at you, Mr. Johnson, and the door closed and padlock on. What's going on? Where is my money? No money at all? No, something. No, it's nothing to do with booking or anything. It's to do with management of those hotels. But what I was hearing, a lady was talking to your manager, your the supervisor, the headman there yesterday, and she was explaining the concession that they get. You know, it's in some big words and other words that poor, you know, me cannot understand. But for what the little I can understand, sir, I understand there is more to it than what they put out. You see, so their aim, in a sense, they want this concession. They cannot keep getting concession. If every hotel or every restaurant get concession, where the country going to be?
It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate, ma'am. This situation is just wrong. Mm-hmm. It's wrong.
Yeah, and they should come back and remake the proper statement. The reason
they're
why
not gonna
they
do it. They're not going to do it, ma'am.
Right, but they don't come out. Make sure the workers get their money and their servant pay or whatever. Hold on to their property and make sure the workers get what is due to them.
Question is the property theirs?
Well, don't let them take their money out of the country. The bank should hold on to their money. The government should put a stop order onto it. They cannot do that in the United Kingdom. They cannot do that in America or any outside world. Why always the West Indies? These people come and set up a business and treat the workers right, wrong. They do that in every West Indies country. And it's about time a government put down their foot. Do not let them take their money out of the country. Whether the building is not there or not, they have money in the account. You know, when I used to sell lettuce to a hotel.
Again, I will say, if the account in Barbados.
Well,
look,
don't let them,
ma'am, you see, and this is where the whole way we've operated businesses and allowed businesses to operate, the whole foreign exchange accounts, the whole exchange accounts, to make it what we call the ease of doing business. But there are also safeguards that we have to put in place that either are not there or are observed in the breach. And so we have these companies that leave and then you can't find the directors, or the directors turn out to be only on paper, and, you know, the workers scramble and the NIS has to pay it.
It is wrong. I remember when I used to do lettuce and sell to hotels. I went for my money one day and I couldn't. I said, no, I want my money. And the one who is in charge, after be getting money out his pocket, or the other some workers' pocket, to pay me. And from then on, I said, tell me, if the money is not in this country, they get paid from the United
States. From overseas, yeah,
you know, and I said, that's it, you aren't getting no more money, no more lettuce for me, you know. So anyway, have a good day, sir.
You
okay?
Too, ma'am. Take care. Brass Sex, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am fine, sir. How are you?
Ma, listen,
yes.
Though.
Yes.
I ain't going to send you a bill, ma.
Why?
Ma, I ain't going to send you a bill.
For your telephone?
I'm going to send you a bill.
Okay, send me the bill.
Okay,
send me the bill. I brought you out.
You're button, and I also going to select you for the West Indies team.
Right.
Ma, you're button like top batsman, man. That's the cameo you just played with that gentleman there.
Oh, you mean the one in the foreign reserves?
And
I know, sir.
You hit strokes all around with your hit, man.
I bow to the stats, man.
No, you're good, man. No, listen, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of these guys need to go and practice in the gaps before they come to the big stage. The Barsats is a big stage. As Andrew Mason is called, the Mecca. This is a big stage here, man. Some of these guys need to go and practice in the gaps. Now, he asked something about mask. He doesn't have any information. He asked something about mask. He lost the mask. It's so funny. You aptly did with it, dealt with it.
Mm-hmm.
No.
What percentage? Do you have the percentage of the reserves as in loans?
The amount?
Mm-hmm. It's over 50%?
No. I work that one.
Okay.
I work out that one. It's not easy to work because anybody can.
I haven't seen the last one.
I really
like
worked
an answer.
It out.
Okay.
I worked it out. But, the point is, I hear some of them are asking this question, but they won't make believe. Like, if this is the first time Barbados ever borrowed money to prop up a reserve.
No, it isn't.
I will also like to say to them, the last administration, the last loan they received was the Swiss Bank loan.
Mm-hmm.
That's the owner's loan. They could not borrow on the local, nor the foreign markets. the economy is such a was in such a bind. Also, I'd like to remind them again that from 2011, the last administration borrowed, and particularly at the ending of the year, 2011, 2012, to make the Farm Reserve look better. When the set, the, remember when the supersede on the NIS and make NIS sell $188 million to Amira, 2011. 2012, $167 million. Well, they sent out the remaining shares, 8% shares, to the bank.
The bank.
Right. That's $167 million. And also then the fourth, then the NIS again, he said in 2012, to sell out their shares for $48 million. So these guys are getting all the, and this is the first time a country, Barbados, countries all over the world is borrowed.
The challenge for Barbados, though, sir, has always been, and this is one of the things that I think when we talk about structural adjustment that we should move to try to correct. The fact that we had, and this is one of the things I liked about the restructuring, if it spreads out the payment periods so they don't all fall at the beginning of the year or in the first quarter, where we used to have them bunched because we felt that our tourism earnings in the first quarter would give us the bump we needed to pay most of our foreign loans. So most of our foreign loans used to come due in or around the first 3 months of the year.
Right.
So we always used to find ourselves having to find the money to pay back
the cash
at the start of the year.
Yeah, exactly.
It was good in principle because that's when we supposedly got the most returns from our tourism. But it turned out to be a bit of a problem when we had to pay, you know,
at once.
Correct.
And that's our general area. But correct. To build your point exactly. Now the government came, this administration came office in May.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, that's why the prime minister had to do the selective debt default, because you had in the first quarter, at least certainly the first half of the year, you had lots of foreign loans due.
Correct.
But you didn't have the foreign reserves, the foreign exchange. So if you had to go and pay them all out, you would find basically, as I always said, you had about $123 million to be back, down factoring, not like paying for imports and things like that. So you would end up basically with no foreign exchange, and that would be bad business. The economy would get downgraded. The dollar would get devalued. Once you don't have the adequate funds in foreign exchange, the dollar will be devalued. Ain't got nothing to do with what the government want or don't want. So it's always better. What she did was the better thing. Now, we came out smelling like a rose with the debt restructuring. So I hear someone asking, but listen, Barbados doesn't have to pay back none of their foreign debt before 2025. That's real El Maroon.
If we don't have anything that rattles us seriously, like this coronavirus or anything else that may come up. And one of the challenges, I think, I know the clause was built into the IMF agreement about natural disasters, etc. But to me, the major challenge still remains, how do we start to earn our way? Because if we have to keep rescheduling at some point, or credibility will again go to zero or lower than zero. And to me, the worrying thing is using the time that you have before you may be hit with something dramatic or traumatic to try to build your resources to earn some money.
Yeah, but actually what they're doing now is like preparing to be hit. Because, you know, you're coming from a deep down hole, like you. The thing that they're putting in place is exactly that, like doing business. The ease of doing business. That is significant. You must have, because I can remember even the last administration, Bieber. I've called Bieber on a couple of occasions when they were in office with you, for instance, Connie Smith and them.
Yeah.
Now, they were always saying that you need to reduce the time of doing business in Barbados. This current government is doing that. And, you know, you're setting out the parameters there that the economy will grow. Everybody's talking about growth. Growth just can't happen overnight. You have to put the things in place. And as I said, the Prime Minister in her first budget speech said growth would come in 36 months. So, yes, it's all right. People are saying growth. But it will not happen overnight. It's a process instead of, an event. Like, even when the guys were complaining about the buses and the trucks, et cetera. That's what my whole theme. It's a process. You got to take a little time. You guys can't come from zero to 100,000 or whatever. It's a process, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, these guys got to understand this. This is not the first time Barbados borrowed, and the last government could have not borrowed in their 10 days in office. So, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Once you got your foreign reserves today, your dollar will not be devalued. Okay.
Okay, okay. Sir. Thank you very much indeed. We got a regional roundup coming up in about 3 minutes, John. We could take one, or we go straight with it? All right. Well, I've been getting WhatsApp messages finally. My WhatsApp messages are finally up and rolling. And here we go again. There goes Dennis Johnson again. Can't put over a point without sounding aggressive or argumentative. Doesn't sound professional or mature at all. My good friend, I am neither. I speak with passion. If you call that, you know, that's what it is. But I am sorry. That's what I tell people, you know. You hear what you hear. I'm listening online. The person says, I'm a bit behind. Statsman defending the government, referring to the last government. It's quite easy to work out the percentage of the reserves is made up of loans. I went to the bank to do a wire transfer on the 19th of February, was told it would take 3 to 5 business days. Today is the 3rd of March. The bank has no idea what happened to the funds or why the client hasn't received it. That's one of the challenges we face with banking online from time to time. When funds go astray, it's, I suppose, one of the challenges that you will have to face. But the bank should be able to tell you what it is. Somebody says the WhatsApp never stopped working. Always wasn't charging. That was the problem. We had a charging problem. It was on zero and it wasn't charging. And so that's why we had to charge it. And that's why I'm waiting for it to reboot. And that's why I couldn't read your messages earlier. But now we're back up and rolling. I should be able to share your comments with the public. And I urge you to keep sending them, as well as the emails, which are also now coming in as well. So, we have the regional roundup. We also have network news from Flow. We go tracking the latest at the top of the hour. And we end at 1 today on the Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks.